Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
You've heard one person has died after a confirmed case of Listeria infection. A further 8 cases too have been identified, and this has obviously led to a huge recall of over about 140 ready meals and side dishes by the Food Safety Authority as a national outbreak control team carries out an investigation. But it raises the question today about whether or not we are just too reliant as a nation on ready meals. Maura Finn is with me on the line today. Maura is a GP from the Ennis Centric Health in County Clare. Maura, we've had a lot of contact from people since early morning wondering about the Listeria infection implications. Will people know if they have it?
It's a really good question, actually, because it's relatively rare, you know, but there are some cases every year, apparently. But and this has been described by the Food Safety Authority as an extensive outbreak. So it's hard to know. There's a long incubation period with it, usually around 3 weeks. So there could be people who have been kind of exposed already and are having symptoms and not having symptoms yet and may develop it. And that's why the kind of the recall is so important, because products that are actually, you know, have any chance of a Listeria contamination will not, a fridge won't be enough to kind of manage it. And even freezing them doesn't kill the bacteria. It delays its breakdown. It doesn't replicate as quickly, but the bacteria is still there. So when you defrost, the Listeria is still present in it. So it's quite a worry, and particularly for people who are kind of vulnerable or very young or very old or immunosuppressed. And the symptoms can be very mild. And it is possible, I'm saying this as a GP, that, you know, maybe we have been dealing with some people who've been presenting with this and we didn't know. Because the symptoms are very, like, often flu-like symptoms, maybe a bit of mild diarrhea, but not an awful lot. And you wouldn't necessarily investigate everybody for symptoms that are like appear to be viral, you know. So it may be underrepresented. We may not be aware of the number of cases that are there at the moment. And that's not to frighten people, because the one thing we do know is that even though it's really one of these hardy bacteria, you know, it really, you know, once it gets into a food processing plant, it's really hard to get rid of. And it can be kind of, you know, spread very, very easily. But once you cook something at very high temperatures, that is one way of getting, you know, of killing it. But if there's any product that you have in your freezer or your fridge that are on this named list, I would just get rid of it, just for fear that, you know, that would cross-contaminate with something else even.
Yeah. Just to point out to listeners as well, that list, I think it's even been added to today since early this morning, since I looked on the Food Safety Authority's website. There's a long list there of, you know, quite literally every single dish, Maura, that has been recalled by the FSAI. But if somebody thinks, you know, if they look at that list now, this lunch word right at lunchtime, I mean, peak time, people probably have food in their fridge and they're thinking they pull out whatever the lasagna is from whatever supermarket they've purchased it in and they go to heat it up today. And maybe they feel fine and they're hearing and they're listening to this afternoon. So it could be three, four, 5 weeks maybe before something presents itself.
It's possible. It can range from anything from about 7 days to even like longer than that, maybe 6 weeks. So I don't want people to be really scared about this, but you just need to be very careful. Like Listeria, traditionally, we'd always talk about Listeria as being a potential bacteria that you get from sliced meats, you know, where, you know, people would know if it kind of the ham was a little bit kind of, there was a smell or it was a bit greasy looking or something. Or, you know, very often with soft cheeses. So cheeses that have been not aged, you know, the younger cheeses that have high moisture content and low acidity. But you can also get it from pate and from fruit, like melon. And there was a thing a couple of years ago about bean sprouts. You might remember that they were recalled for a similar reason.
Okay.
And we usually give the advice around Listeria only to pregnant women. Now, that's a part where I would say that I've been remiss, because, you know, we should be telling everybody. But for pregnant women, the risk of Listeria, it really increases the chance of miscarriage and other complications, and even for small babies. So it's something we talk about, but we don't really often kind of see it as being a real threat. And so this situation is quite frightening for people. But they've identified where it is, they've identified the product. So just go be cautious, go on the go to the extent of like getting rid of the products if there's any risk of them. And I think it also goes back to the fact that we do have become too reliant on ready meals and, you know, making dinners from scratch where you know the ingredients are coming from. Isn't it a far safer way to approach feeding your family and yourself as well?
Yeah, look, and in a general sense, even beyond the investigation that's being carried out, and I know the company have released a statement into that and very much, you know, cooperating obviously with the FSAI into this. Mm. But as we park that maybe, you know, for a moment, registered dietitian and presenter with Today FM, Shelley Gray's with me on the line today. As a nation, Shelley, are we just more reliant on convenience food?
Good afternoon. We do know certain cohorts of the population would over-rely on ready meals. So it may be due to time constraints, you know, things that are out of their hands, or even older individuals. And as Maura was saying, they tend to be the ones that are more immunocompromised, but maybe they're solo living. They just don't see the, you know, they don't want to go to the effort of cooking a meal if it's only for themselves. Or indeed, older individuals, they might not just have the physical ability to cook. They might rely on those the microwavable ready-to-eat meals. Food poverty, unfortunately, it is rampant. And some of the ready meals, they may be a more affordable option, unfortunately, for some families as well. And obviously, from a dietetic point of view, from a nutrition point of view, most ready meals that tend to be higher in the things that we try to lower in our diet. So higher in salt, higher in saturated fat, higher in sugar, and then lower, unfortunately, in the good stuff, like lower in fiber, lower in vitamins and minerals. Now, that's a very general statement. I know there are brands emerging and they are trying to hit that balance of being both convenient and also nutritious as well. So just being really mindful of that and looking at the label if you are going. And we've all gone for ready-made meals, you know, a few times in our lifetime. We probably lived on them in college. So I think this is just a real, like, it's an unfortunate way to give it a real shake up when it comes to food safety. And as Maura was saying, just to make sure you're cooking them really, really thoroughly. And again, if you are rushing out the door, you could be tempted to, you know, bang it into the microwave. And if it's warm enough, yeah, it'll do. But that's not what's going to, you need to get the temperature above 70 degrees to kill that Listeria bacteria.
Should we all have a thermometer then?
I wouldn't say thermometer. I would say just if you are using the ready meals, cook as per the manufacturer's instructions. They will give very clear instructions. So I wouldn't go to the case, you know, of being overly cautious like that. But when it comes to, again, as Maura was saying, pregnant women, that's when I would be overly cautious. So just trying to avoid the ready meals if possible during pregnancy, you know, just avoiding that risk and, you know, completely. And then as she was mentioning, the soft cheeses and the unpasteurized milk and dairy and your salads, you know, if you go into a supermarket and you see the salad bar in the center and, you know, you scoop them into a little bowl, like they can be lying out for quite some time. So they are, you know, an ideal breeding ground for the likes of Listeria bacteria. So to avoid them and the deli meats as well, as she mentioned as well.
What does Listeria do to the food, Shelley? Or, you know, how quick does it affect it?
Well, it's in the environment. It's in rampant in the environment anyway. But once it contaminates a food, so including those raw foods, the chilled foods and the ready-to-eat meals that you're not going to be cooking, they can grow, they can thrive in those refrigerated temperatures. So usually with a fridge, we keep them at a temperature below 5 degrees, but that's not enough to stop their growth and to basically proliferate in your food. So they can indeed cause those illnesses that you may not see for a few days or indeed a few weeks.
Yeah, and you know, like if you're cooking something, I'm terrible for, well, not terrible, I suppose it was something we were talking about the show for years, batch cooking and cooking things and having it ready in advance and just, you know, the idea of preheating, and a lot of it probably is down to pure convenience. So that obviously has to be reheated then at a, you know, specific temperature.
Yeah, so I suppose if you are cooking foods like that, and a lot of people do, we would say like give it 2 to 3 days in the fridge, and then, you know, you want to be making fresh food after that. So I wouldn't, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of batch cooking for like the 7 day week. Now, if you're freezing, that's another thing, that's absolutely fine. But if you're storing something in the fridge, I would use it up within 2 to 3 days. And just when you're reheating it, again, make sure it is piping hot. Mm. and to kill any potential bacteria.
Adrian Martin is the chef and owner of Wildflower Restaurant in Black Rock in Dublin. I know, Adrian, you've been with us many, many times for Big Batch on a Monday afternoon. Yep. But you might just remind listeners maybe about just maybe some handy tips if they're here this Thursday at home making lunch. Quick, easy things people can make, easy meals at home.
I think like it's basically look through that list and figure out how every single one of them are made. I think for something to outbreak like this, it is alarming for people that are vulnerable. And I go back to my own partner. We had a baby a year ago, and I was very cautious over what Maria ate during her pregnancy, particularly we've spoken about salads and ready-made meals. So we totally stayed away from it. So what I would go for is just pick your 5 days a week and say, right, where do I start from? Pick the basics and say, right, how do I make chicken curry from scratch? And start from there. And there's some amazing things you can add to you know, your repertoire of food each week that can really, you know, add a bit of flavor profile. So I'm talking about basic chicken curry. We're talking about onion, garlic, you saute it down. You have a bit of tomato puree, a little bit of curry powder. You add in your chicken at this stage, and then you add in some coconut milk, and you let that simmer away and cook. And we were talking about a meat thermometer there. I think it's the greatest invention. We were handed it from day one in culinary college.
Okay.
And we were always told 75 degrees Celsius is the safe temperature to serve food and to reheat food. Only ever reheat, like, you have to use common sense here. Like, only ever reheat food once. You know, we shouldn't be reheating it over and over again. I don't know if you hear about, you know, when you get the Chinese takeaway and you reheat the rice the next day, and next thing you're ill from the rice. It's because the rice has been in a rice cooker all day, keeping warm. You know, it's about using a little bit of common sense as well. All the recipes I would look into then is something that's quick and easy, like a beef stroganoff. You know, you saute down a little bit of beef with, again, onion, garlic, very simple. Mm-hmm. Some mushrooms in there, and a little bit of beef stock and very simple cream. And you have a beautiful stroganoff in no time. Like a lot of recipes now, if you look online and you figure it out and you try a recipe once and get the hang of it, they can take up to 10 to 15 minutes. But I feel sad for that poor family and poor person that has died from this tragic outbreak. And I do think we really do have to look at what we eat and really look at what we're cooking and how we're treating food.
Okay.
And I think it's something we really do need to look at moving forward. I think going back to cooking from scratch is a huge benefit.
Just on that, Barry Kerrigan, Adrian. Barry, of course, is a butcher and an owner of Kerrigan's Craft Butchers. Have you noticed that, Barry, over the years? Is there a drop in the number of people who are making the regular daily at home cooked dinners?
It's hard to say if there's a drop. There's definitely demand, I think, for food that's easier to cook and cook quicker. Like, we've a range of food, easy cook, we just cook it in the tray, and people don't have to prepare the vegetables or the, you know, any bits and bobs that go into the tray. It's quick and easy for them. But I definitely think people are time poor, and that's why they might go for these ready meals as an option.
Now, when you talk about this, I suppose there's a difference in something that's made and cooked, and all you have to do is perhaps reheat it, and then something that's total, you know, a tray of raw ingredients that you know, is just maybe prepared together, but you still have to actually cook it.
Yeah, that's just a huge part of our business, where we prepare everything raw food, and the customers have to cook in the oven or on the pan or whatever the best way is to cook that particular dish. But yeah, obviously the ready meals are huge draw, attracts more people, because I think they're time poor. And I know, from our point of view, it's really gone back, as Adrian was saying, gone back to basics, making a plan. And what I do, and it might sound kind of boring, but every Sunday, myself and my wife, we sit down on a Sunday and we plan our meals for the week. So we've got 14 recipes that we all like, myself, my wife, my two children, and we plan out the meals for the week as best we can. And gives us a starting point on a Monday, we know what we're doing. And we have the stuff in the fridge ready to go.
Okay, so this is a weekly event, is it? You sit down, Barry, and work out what's what's going to be
exactly,
on the menu.
Exactly, maybe get the kids involved. And, like, you know, mince is obviously always up there. So mince can be so versatile. We can have bolognese, we can have lasagna, we can have taco fries, we can have meatballs. That's from one, like, protein. So, you know, if you make a plan and, you know, make it a bit of fun with the kids, interact with the kids, it can work out. So I just think that people, you know, there's this famous saying, prepare, you know, fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's our motto.
Yeah.
Just thought about, it's all about preparing and thinking ahead.
There's a text here from one listener, Shelley, who says, I didn't actually realise you had to heat things up for as long as you've mentioned. I often would have heated my food up for a lot less because I don't like it piping hot.
I know. And, you know, I've probably done the same myself, but I think this is a shake up for us all to really, really, you know, heat them up properly, get a piping hot. You don't have to eat it like piping hot straight from the microwave, but just as long as you're cooking it there and then, you're killing the bacteria with that temperature above 70 degrees and then eating it straight away and not reheating it again. So yeah, absolutely piping hot. You might need to stop the microwave, give it a stir, put it back in again. Depends on what the food is.
Yeah, it's a good point that even actually, you know, letting it heat, stirring it, which are probably all maybe, well, certainly I'm a little bit guilty of that as well. Catherine Layden, I think, Catherine, you're kind of the queen of home baking. What's your tips for people today around making nutritious meals at home?
Quite a bit of it, Andrea, has been covered there now. But really, we're going to have to get back to batch cooking. And what I suggest is you get, like someone was mentioned there, say spaghetti bolognese and say meatballs, right? So you get a double quantity of mince and do two different recipes, but double up on the quantity. And then you can freeze them. I wouldn't have them any longer than 2 days in the fridge, but you can freeze them and take them out then the night before and then heat them through. But do, as we've all said, heating them through, right through, is very important.
That's the big thing, yeah.
And yeah, and even with the microwave, you know, following the microwave's instructions, sometimes it depends on the power of your microwave and everything else. Even using manufacturer's instructions, I'm inclined to give them a bit more than they recommend to make sure that the food is totally cooked through. And then for things like pasta, you could have your sauce made in advance, freeze different quantities of sauce, cook the pasta, there's nothing in that, only putting it into the saucepan with some boiling water and a pinch of salt, and then have your pasta out, or your sauce out rather, from the night before. And then you just make sure that that's heated through.
Yeah, just make sure it's heated through, and that'll suffice. Just maybe on a final point, Dr. Maura Finn, you know, for people listening today and obviously concerned about this Listeria infection outbreak and the investigation into it, as we mentioned, 9 confirmed cases and 1 fatality. Is it just contact your GP if you feel you have it?
Yeah, I suppose if you have any, like, very few people will have any very severe symptoms. So I suppose we don't want to frighten people. But the symptoms in the early stage are often flu-like. So like any viral thing, you know, a bit of a headache, maybe a bit of a aches and pains, you know, maybe a bit of a temperature as well. If you feel it could possibly be related to it, do contact us. Unfortunately, diagnosis involves blood tests and blood cultures, so it's a difficult enough thing to diagnose too. But now we'll have a much higher kind of like threshold, a lower threshold, I should say, for being suspicious of it as well. If there's anybody else in the family who's unwell too and you feel it may be related, just contact us and we'll kind of go through it. May not always need to go too far with it, but it's the vulnerable, really. And like another one of the speakers said, I mean, it's dreadful for that poor family who are dealing with a death. Like, and there's 9 others who've been identified, and hopefully the others will do well. Most people do not suffer like very severe complications, but occasionally can cause septicemia and even meningitis and symptoms like that. So if you're in any way worried, contact your GP.
Yeah, so it's a flu symptom really, more so than perhaps a gastro, is it, typically?
Yeah, diarrhea can happen, of course, but it doesn't, because it's a kind of a bacteria that's right through your system, it isn't necessarily, and the long incubation period, it tends to affect every part of you rather than just the gastro.
Dr. Maura Finn, GP at Ennis-Centric Health, registered dietitian Shelley Gray, Chef Adrian Martin, Catherine Layden and Barry Kerrigan there from Kerrigan's Craft Butchers. Thanks a million for joining us. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.